Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Stormkeep. My name is Paul, and today I'm joined by.
Ragonk, hey guys.
So we have the very high privilege of revealing the battle scroll for April 2023. We finally did it. We got a scoop. We got one over on everybody else, and we are going to tell you guys all the major highlights and all the implications of it. And it is pretty huge. Ragonk,
It's a doozy.
I don't think
Yeah,
I've ever seen this big of a change coming in like a quarterly update. This is crazy.
Oh yeah, this is gonna completely change the game. It's a good one, Kudos to the designers.
So let's just jump right into it, Major changes. These are just like little highlights. That's all this video is, because this is such a huge document. We would spend like an hour going over just what's written in there. There's so many point changes, there's so much errata. We figured we should just highlight the big ones and then let the rest of the community kind of just take it from there, So the first big one is that the hunt is back. That's a bit of a controversial thing, I think. If you don't know what the hunt was, it creates this system where you have priority targets, and they have a reward value. So, for example, in the previous version, Stormdrake Guard were a priority target. So if you destroyed one of them, you would get an extra victory point. And it's a way to balance the game. Like the external balance of the game can change, like win rates and whatnot, without changing the points. And that's something that mostly affects internal balance. So, like, let's say, Gits are winning a lot of games right now, and maybe, we can make the Squigs a priority target. That way, the internal balance of the book stays the same. Everybody brings just as many Squigs as they did before. But now, whenever you kill that unit of Squigs, it gives you a bonus victory point, including,
And when they return, you can kill them again for another victory point, which is excellent.
So, I'm a little skeptical on this, but I think this is the biggest change, without a doubt.
Yeah, I like this change. I mean, the last Hunters was a bit lackluster because it literally only affected all of our units, but I think this is much better.
It was pretty much just, Stormcast are the priority targets,
Does this Stormcast have negative two rend? It's on the priority target list.
pretty much. The other big change, and a lot of people are going to be very happy about this one, is that Bounty Hunters is back. But it specifically only works against units in the Galatian Veterans Battalion. So if people are using that battalion, then Bounty Hunters is going to make a big comeback. It's going to be pretty interesting to see if it finally kills the Battle Regiment meta.
Good battalion change, honestly. I love bounty hunters for my vanquishers.
Oh, it was the best. The one thing I liked the most about Bounty Hunters was putting low damage units into it, like Stormdrakes or Chariots or Vanquishers, and then suddenly they just become high damage units. That felt really good. And this is definitely the biggest errata they've ever released. Like, this is I think next to the third edition launch when they put out erratas for every book, this has to be the most errata we've ever seen. So, Gronk, run through the big ones here. I've got a couple highlighted, but if you can think of any other ones.
The biggest change is, well, Rally just got nerfed to 8 wounds max. So 8 wounds max means, if you have Hearthguard Berserkers rallying on a 4-up or Witch Elves, your opponent can only bring 8 of them back, or 4 Hearthguard Berserkers back, or if they're rallying something crazy that's like a 5-wound troll that comes back on a 5-up, they can only rally one troll back. This is like a really huge change. Rally was really, really oppressive for the game, so I'm glad to see this limited in what it can do, because it can often just completely swing games if it's just unlimited wounds, So I'm happy about that. What do you think?
Well, it really helped Stormcast because we didn't really rally much. That wasn't a big deal for us. So if the relative rally power is normalized across the board, suddenly us rallying and only getting back one Fulminator on a brick of four, that's a good result. It's not a bad result anymore. Can't rally Stormdrakes anymore. Sorry about that, Dan.
Oh God, I can only imagine rallying Stormdrakes back, how bad those feel. But what
That's
I'm really excited about, hell, Arcane Tome, no longer granting wizard. Only allows you to cast a Mystic Shield and Arcane Bolt. And like, can you imagine how big of a change is? Arcane Bolt is by far the best artifact in the whole game. Every faction takes it. There is no reason for you not to take it. It's so good, even Khorne players are considering taking it.
Oh, they're not just considering it. They are taking it, and they're going to be using it with Flaming Weapon on their Bloodthirsters. It's going to be gross.
Oh, goodness. I didn't even think of that.
you know, it doesn't really change much for us. Again, this is another like Stormcast positive thing, I'd say, because usually we're just casting Mystic Shield anyway. That's like one of our main spells. So if we still have an artifact that's just you cast Mystic Shield, like, oh no, I don't get to learn Thundershock or Celestial Blades on that hero. Like, cool. We get to retain all the power of Mystic Shield, but now we get to bring other wizards and feel good about that. It's definitely a win for us.
Yep. Biggest change ever, after, I think. This is crazy. They decided to remove all the generic battle tactics. So instead of just saying, hey, here's these really hard ones, because this season has some really hard battle tactics. You know, they said, you know what? Just do your book once, because they're so easy. You know, they just let us have it. They just let us have it all.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for this. I think the Stormcast battle tactics are excellent. I think there's a lot of potential with Cities of Sigmar units. So I'm excited to be able to use those battle tactics. Because that's the only ones we're going to be doing.
It's definitely going to make me reconsider using some Cities units that I've previously overlooked. That's definitely a big change. But I think the time is right for this now, because most armies have faction battle tactics. I guess if you're, you know, a Seraphon player or Flesh Eater Corps, it's like, I guess you're just screwed for until you get your book, right?
They have some White Dwarf tactics, but yeah.
I think literally two battle tactics.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that probably explains... That's why those armies are prime hunters. That's why those armies are prime hunters.
Yep.
Yeah, they're just going to get victory points from killing stuff, and that's fine. Totally balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those are the three biggest changes. There's a lot in here, guys, seriously. But those are huge. Like, thinking about the implications of those three changes is massive for every army. If you had an artifact in your book, I know a lot of armies feel like they didn't have an artifact and they just had the Arcane Tome, but you have other artifacts that you can use now, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
There have been massive point changes. Something we've been asking for forever is Stormdrakes are back down to 280 points, because after rounds and rounds and rounds of nerfs, it turns out they're just overcosted at 340. Like, nobody's using dragons. They're pretty much gone from the game. So they're like, okay, finally we can reduce the points back down to 280. Which is a fair price for that unit, right? 18 wounds, 3 up save. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah,
right?
They removed. They still are on a, like, you know, menagerie or whatever. We still can't hero phase move, I don't think. But 280 points, perfect.
Frankly, it's a little bit cheaper than what they should have been, but that's because they're getting rid of the fives at the end of all point values now. So they used to be 285. Yeah. Now they're just 280, and that's fine. Chaos Chosen are also, interestingly, up to 280 points, which is... about the right point value for a unit that's, you know, 15 wounds, a 3 up save, a 4 inch move. That just feels right to be at 280 points, given that the damage they do is insane.
Fight twice is insane. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a crazy unit. So seeing them go up 40 points feels justified. Maybe Slaves of Darkness isn't the strongest army in the game right now, but Chaos Chosen are definitely one of the strongest units.
Yep.
I think the other huge point change here is to Lumineth, right? I didn't think they would nerf Teclis that much. I expected something, you know, but not as much as they did, which is crazy. So let's go into more some highlights, you know, based on factions here. We're still looking through it here, guys, but we wanted to put this video out. So here's like the major stuff we've definitely noticed. Starting off with Slaves to Darkness, like we said, Chaos Chosen are going up 40 points from 240 to 280. Splintered Fang, same thing, from 100 to 140, which, you know what, that's actually a fair price for them, because that unit's insane, man. Oh my god, that unit does so much damage, it's crazy. And then Ravagers, you can just revive them every single turn. Ridiculous.
Yep, 140 is a well-deserved price. I'm glad they did it, finally.
I'm glad they did it before people could buy the models, right? It's like,
yeah, right.
That's been the one saving grace with that unit, is they made it incredibly overpowered, and then it's just out of stock everywhere. So it kind of saved people from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chaos Knights going up. That's an interesting one. And I think this is because, you know, that 10 block of Nurgle Knights with the icon is super hard to chew through. And people are starting to bring like two blocks of 10 Knights, right? And one unit will be Nurgle, and then one unit might be like Tzeentch, the other banner. So it makes sense to nerf that unit. It's starting to get a little too popular.
Yeah, I mean, Slaanesh Knights just getting +1 to charge and then auto-charging, turning one dice to a 4, is like pretty good. So,
yeah, I think that is justified. They have a lot of movement. Movement wins games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you now that you know, like Slaanesh and Tzeentch can use these units, right? It's not just being balanced for Slaves to Darkness, it's gotta be balanced for every other army now too. So I think that's part of why they're increasing the costs. Stormcast have seen a lot of what would you call this? Unerrata? Like we had errata and now it's gone. So they,
like they saw our 46% win rate and they decided to just, I guess, undo everything and in lieu of some like points changes and some weird priority target shifts.
Yeah.
So, starting off, like Cycle of the Storm, Translocation, and Stormdrake Guard, like all the stuff that they did to it, I mean, it's gone. Menagerie, I think, is still there, the Menagerie one. But
yeah, that one's still there because they're, I think they might be worried about Karazai being too strong still because he's doing really well this season. So it's understandable, right?
Yep.
But the errata on Cycle of the Storm is going to be very interesting because that actually indirectly makes Karazai stronger because every time you Cycle the Storm, he just survives any amount of damage with one wound remaining. So I'm thinking of a list that's just Karazai and like five Lord Arcanums. You know, like, good luck.
But yeah, just keep cycling him on one wound.
Yeah, and every time he dies, he triggers a Blaze of Glory for 19 dice on six ups to do mortals. It's going to be fun.
Combine that with Final Thunderstrike. If he dies multiple times,
five ups. Yeah, that would be gross.
Yep.
The translocation change, you know, being able to move after translocation as it's written in the book, I don't think that's going to be too strong, right? Like, I know a lot of people were very worried about it, and they kind of made, like, a knee-jerk reaction, but honestly, I don't even think I'm going to use priests in my list anymore going forwards. I think they're a little overrated.
No, I think Relictor's gone down in value.
Yeah.
And that's mainly due to the Stormdrake Guard point changes, and the Aeroblaze Comet going down 5 points. I mean, that just makes our wizard stonks. Like, I'd rather take, like, Lord Arcanums, like, three Lord Arcanums and a Knight Incantor and just try to cycle Comets every turn.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you thinking, like, the mounted Lord Arcanums or just the cheap one that's on
foot? Oh, all of them. Foot, okay. Dracoline, Arcanum, Toleron, and then I'll maybe take a Knight Incantor. I don't know if the Knight Incantor has room for my list anymore, but we'll see.
Yeah, with other wizards getting better, Incantor's looking a lot worse, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Stormdrake Guard are a big change, right? Going back down to what they should have been at all along. They can move in the hero phase again, so you don't even need to translocate them. Like, it's just not necessary. Everblaze Comet down, just 5 points. Like, you know, it's a little weird that it's 5 points, because they said they were trying to get rid of the whole, you know, X5 thing. Super weird, but I'll take it. 5 points is 5 points, right? It looks like they remembered Decimators existed in this battle scroll, so they went down 5 points, right? The only unit that, in the game that was still, you know, X5 in the Stormcast book is now finally, you know, at a proper rounded number. And it looks like Aetherwings took a bit of a hit. It's actually the only unit that went up in points. But I was trying to wrap my head around this one. Why do you think they nerfed Aetherwings again?
I think a lot of, like, Eidneth and, like, Seraphon likes to use that point slot for Aetherwing allies. So the usage for Aetherwings wasn't just Stormcast armies. It was seeing representation across a lot of Order armies. Mm-hmm. So maybe to nerf that, I think. Aetherwings are very good. I mean, you know, Blaze of Glory on birds. Well,
only in Stormcast armies, right?
Well, yeah, but, you know, they're fast objective takers. They're annoying. You know, they can snipe an objective.
I would just prefer if they designed the game so that you didn't have 70 to 80 points left over in your list, you know? Like, Eidneth don't even have endless spells that they can take. Like, what are you guys doing there? The point values are so weird.
Yeah.
There is a change coming that might fix that, so we'll see. The rest of the Stormcast stuff, the Drakesworn Templar, again, this is, I think, targeted at the Karazai list using Drakesworn Templar with Master of Menagerie. They've actually put out an errata that the Drakesworn Templar was supposed to have a 5-up save characteristic, not a 4+. So we were right that the 4+ was not the correct value.
Yeah. Well, 5-up save makes it, like, even worse. I don't understand this change, but I get it, like, they really just want you to build the Lord Celestine on Stardrake. They're saying, do not play this unit, please.
Mm-hmm.
For the love of God, don't play this unit.
People started playing it a little bit with Karazai, and they realized just how disgustingly overpowered that would be, so they had to put that errata out.
Yep. Yeah.
So there is a big, you know, this is all a lot of good stuff, aside from the Drakesworn, but it does come with a big cost. Every single Stormcast unit is now a priority target. So every unit that dies is worth an extra victory point to your opponent. So it's pretty risky.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty risky. Even those, like, Aetherwing screens that you're using, you know, they just die and give away an extra point.
Yep.
It's going to be so, especially because we have basically the worst battle tactics in the game, that's going to make it really hard to win games now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to hopefully just fight mirror matches all the time, get VP that way.
Yeah. Think about what that's going to do to scoring in, like, a GT. when you're looking for max VP score. People who play against Stormcast are going to score really, really high.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. In other news, Idaneth Deepkin, you know, that 60, 80 point bubble that I was talking about. Well, good news. The Gloomtide Shipwreck now costs 60 points. I believe this is the only terrain feature that costs points in the game.
Yeah, this is the first for them. This is really cool. This is really good.
Yeah,
I mean, Gloomtide Shipwreck was insanely overpowered. It could move block you. You could, you know, bring out two of these things with using an artifact that they have. It gave you a ward save. It was an impassable garrison. And I think it unlocks battle tactics for you, too.
Yeah.
Like, if there's something nearby. And since you can only do book battle tactics, the value of this thing just skyrockets. So it makes sense for it to be 60 points.
Yeah, I believe one of the grand strategies that most players were taking had to do with the Gloomtide as well. So being able to take two of them just like made it a guarantee. So that's a little too reliable. There was also the issue that recently they put out an errata that all the heroes, you know, with their companions, those counted as mounts, so they weren't able to garrison. But the errata is now that you can garrison all the heroes. So I think that's part of it, is that the heroes are going to be more durable now, and they just want to increase the cost of the Gloomtide. So, you know, if you're using a double Gloomtide list, that's going to, you're down 120 points right away. There were no other point changes to Idaneth, so just watch out for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Looking at Gits, it seems like Squigs are doing... Squigs and Trogs are really carrying the faction. So they've reduced the point cost on the Arachnarok units and the Spider Riders because they're not doing as well as the rest of the book. For internal balance reasons, it's a very poorly designed book. Right, it's kind of like with Stormcast. All we use is long strikes and fulminators, right? So,
or dragons and crossbows. It's basically that. That's the problem. They're using squigs and trolls, or trolls and squigs.
Right.
It's
so
just the ratio, you know.
Yeah. So I think it's totally justified to buff them, because again, this is not buffing squigs, right? They're fine. Trogs are fine, but the Arachnaroks and stuff, that's a little overpriced. It's not seeing much play right now. Lumineth, they got some very big changes. There was an errata where, I think we mentioned this in our review, that Avalonor didn't have a subfaction keyword, and then later they put out an errata to give him the Metrica keyword, but it seems like that wasn't the right keyword. They've now given him the Alumnia keyword instead, so he no longer can do things with Metrica.
Yeah, strange that they gave him the Alumnia one, but I actually agree, Metrica was way too strong for him. Ignoring up to -2 Ren is just, come on. This is far more balanced.
Yeah, I think it's a story thing. Like, I think he's actually from Alumnia, or maybe he moved there recently. I don't know.
Mountains move. I mean, mountains have been known to move. I mean, there could be an earthquake or something. The mountain could move. And I think the lore, that something like that happens. But don't quote me on that. I'd have to look up the latest battle tome that came out.
Yeah,
I think it's
mentioned
in there somewhere.
I think we're due for another Lumineth battle tome this year, so I'm sure it'll be explained there.
Yeah, maybe Tyrion made him move. I don't know. We could see. Maybe we'll find that out when that comes out. Yeah.
Biggest change, I think, points-wise, is Sentinels are going up 100 points. They're going up to 250 for 10 models. And that's a bit much. It's a little bit much. I was thinking maybe like a 30-point nerf would be good for them. But this basically cuts the number of Sentinels you bring in half. So instead of 60, you'll just have 30 now in your list.
Yep.
The Teclis nerf is also huge. He went up 200 points, which frankly makes sense because he does everything in that army for them, right? Like, no matter how you play Lumineth, Teclis fits into that style. You want to play Wind Spirits, you want to play Venari, you want to play Heavy Sonari, you want to play Mountain Temple. Well, Teclis does all of those things better than any of the units that are in those temples. So he just does everything good. So this is actually a good thing for them, I think, ultimately. Like, internal balance is going to be better because with Teclis being less viable, other options will start to shine. Like, you'll start to use a Wind Mage and teleport units that way. You'll start to use a Stone Mage to combo with the Cathalar instead of just casting it with Teclis.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it looks like in order to offset some of these nerfs, they've reduced the cost of Wind Spirits down to 230, which, you know, I'm a little bit worried about that because Wind Spirits are one of those units that, once they reach the right point value, people are going to spam them, and they're super not fun to play against, right? Like, fast shooting units are not fun.
I could see that, yeah. But you know what? The 5-0 board, yeah, I could see them being pretty oppressive, especially in a meta where you can fly over, you know, battle ranks and then hit someone's GCs, take them out. They're actually good GCs, right?
Because no, they're not heroes. They're not heroes.
Oh, they're not. Okay, well then this change makes sense. If they're not heroes, then.
I believe they're leaders, but they're not heroes for some reason.
Oh wow. Interesting.
Yeah, it's like
I
the
haven't
opposite.
read this comic in so long, but yeah, it
It's
makes
like the
sense.
opposite of the Hearthguard heroes that are heroes but not leaders. These guys are leaders but not heroes.
Ugh.
Daughters of Cain are, I think this is, there's been a new battle tome coming out for them soon, and they've just renamed the faction Marathi and the Bow Snakes, which frankly
Yeah.
is completely accurate, so I don't think anybody's going to complain about that.
No, it's literally all anyone plays.
Right, yeah, and her spear is now properly Ren D3.
I love this change. I mean, it was so confusing constantly having to check, is it two? Is it three? What's the FAQ? What's the errata? What's the latest battle scroll? But now it's just like I know that it's variable. I can just roll in front of my opponent. And D3 always means three for me because I just roll really hot like all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm glad, you know, it's D3.
But remember, it's you have to roll for each individual attack. It's not like
Oh yeah.
D3 and then it's
No,
like
but
Ren
that's
2
what
for all
keeps
of
my
them.
opponent guessing. Are
Yeah,
they going to engage
exactly.
Marathi and face one Ren Marathi or three Ren Marathi? And I think that like increases her value even more. And that makes sense, perfect sense, given how they renamed the faction.
And she is like, all about illusion and deception, so it's a narrative fit as well. Sylvaneth are seeing only a handful of changes. But one of them being Gossamins are getting a little bit of a point decrease here, down to what I would consider a fair point value for them. Considering they only have what are they like 10 shots and sixes do D3 mortals. Like that's not a like it's not that scary. So a point cost drop is fine. It would probably promote them doing something besides just Kurnoth hunters charging you and then teleporting back, which is going to be a lot harder
Yeah.
now because the Spite Swarm Hive requires a 5+ to activate instead of a 2+. This is a huge nerf. This
Yeah.
is like Slaanesh going from first edition to second edition huge. Like,
Yeah.
that's how big of a
I mean,
nerf that
plus three
is.
to charge is insane good. Like, it's effectively they're getting the Gabriel Sureheart ability, and you know, one of the main things some of the players like really enjoy is how reliable that two up effect was. And how like it was really prevalent. So I guess like the studio decided that this needed to be appropriately nerfed to its effect on the game and an effect on their movement. So a five up I think is like perfectly balanced. I think it'll improve games. I think Sylvaneth players will enjoy using other tools in their armies because of this.
Yeah, and maybe some Gossamid archers. Those might finally see play
Yeah,
with this new point value.
those. Yep. And they can double reinforce them because they're so cheap now. So yeah.
Can they be battle lined somehow?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I don't think Gossamid archers are ever battling.
Bone Reapers, you're the Bone Reaper guy. Run us through the changes on that army.
Oh yeah, I'm super excited for this. Bone Reapers is my second army after Stormcast, and the biggest change is they no longer use RDP. So no longer, you know, 6-7 RDP, and you can't spend it because there's nothing to spend it on because each command can really only be issued once. They use command abilities. They get command points now. Congrats, guys! We made it. We are finally playing 3.0. I like this change. All out defense is good. Redeploys are nice. Rerolling charges is ace. That was the one thing I absolutely hated doing with my Bone Reapers was, you know, not being able to reroll charges and just failing like 4-inch charges constantly. But this does come with some downsides. Points haven't increased across the board. Off the top of my head, I think Ignar Guard are like 200 for like 10 models now. I think Catacross went to like a 700 point unit. Stalkers went to like 300 points because they realized like having negative 4 rend on a unit is really, really good. So you know
It's pretty good,
that's
yeah.
kind of bad, but it I see it justified because I couldn't believe this, but every single character and every single unit in our book can now shield wall. Even the Mortek Crawler. I don't know how they justified it. Maybe you know the crew just grabs that giant shield that's on the front of the catapult and they just like hold it up or something. But every single one of our units can now reroll saves, which is insanely good. So yeah, the points increases feel justified.
Yeah, so they're definitely going to be like the tanky death faction, almost like bone cast Eternals, like they're supposed to be high
Yeah.
armor, and this
And
fits
that's
perfectly.
basically it. Nagash got jealous and made these guys, right? So that's makes
Yeah,
sense.
I'm going to make my own storm cast with blackjack and hookers. Seraphon, no changes because they're not legal for match play anymore, not even the new models. I think they've just given up on trying to balance that army after trying so many times with so many battle scrolls, like you just can't do it. So I think they're just done. Like, no, we're just not doing this anymore. Seraphon, they're no longer a match play army. They're just for narrative and open play now.
This might change in the next GHB, but yeah, they're just They just removed that faction because they were like, yeah, like we've nerfed this army 6 times and it continues to dominate top tables. It's like, let's just remove it.
Yeah, it's just gone. Not even the new book, yep. Nothing. Just, it's gone.
Yep.
Until further notice. Sons of Behemoth have a really interesting change. The Mega Gargants are no longer single. Which
reinforced depth. Oh my god.
We almost didn't even notice this because there were no point changes and no errata for the Mega Gargants. And we were thinking, like, oh, they didn't change anything with this army. But then we noticed that the single keyword is missing, which is incredible. And it seems to be on purpose because the regular Gargants still have single, not the mob, but like the regular guy. So, yeah, you can reinforce Mega Gargant. So you can bring a squad of 2 Kraken Eaters, or 3 if you somehow, like, get the battle line for it in your list. I don't know how that's going to work out.
You can stack Forcefold players on them. All-out defense, all-out attack on 2 Gargants is really, really good.
And each of them have the hero keyword, so I'm pretty sure you can Finest Hour twice with that unit. Like, have we ever seen a hero unit before that's more than one model? That's so weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. It's a little strange.
And and both of them can use a Monstrous Rampage, right? Because they don't have that clause like Stormdrake Guard do, where only one model can do it.
Yep.
Gonna be crazy. Gonna be crazy. Hedah Knights of Slaanesh. I know this is a new book, but people noticed that it was just weird that you can use Temptation Dice on death units, because death units have no free will. So why would you be able to tempt them to do anything? You know, like
what does a skeleton want, really? Nothing.
How does a skeleton even get... like respond to that, you know?
Nothing.
It's like just talking to a chair. Yeah, it's an object. So
no, it's a very flavorful change. I like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like when Seraphon, you know, that army that used to be legal, when they used to have rules that did bonus damage against chaos, it's kind of like that, but like death is just immune to temptation dice now, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is a narrative game after all, right? It should have narrative hooks in it like that.
Yep. I agree.
Disciples of Tzeentch, you know, we're just about to wrap up our How to Counter Tzeentch video, so seeing these changes made me really happy. First off, the Magister now just takes D3 mortal wounds instead of dying instantly on a double. This is really big for people who don't know this. This seems like a buff, but it's actually a giant nerf that he doesn't kill himself instantly, because what people are doing is they're bonding him to the Kronspine and then automatically killing him, and then the Kronspine goes wild, and then it can devour the endless spells that the Tzeentch player cast. And power up, which is all kinds of silly. So this is a huge nerf, not a buff. It looks like a buff, but it's not. The other big change is that fate points actually have a use besides summoning. And it's anytime you want to use a command ability, you have to spend a fate point instead of a command point.
This is really good because now it makes the Tzeentch player actually wonder, do I want to save fate points for all out defense, all out attack, or do I want to summon a Lord of Chain?
Yeah,
I like this change.
Yeah, so like, you know, Slaanesh has to burn away its temptation, or sorry, depravity points to summon demons, and then, you know, loses its bonuses. Khorne can choose either summon demons or have more tithe rewards from that table. Mm-hmm. Tzeentch was kind of the one that didn't really have an opportunity cost, and it was really easy to generate them. Like, Nurgle has to try really hard to get them.
They need to control, like, board quarters. Yeah, this is just... Tzeentch just happened. That was the problem.
Yeah. So this seems like a fair change, and I think it's a new direction for the army to go in, and it kind of makes sense, like you're scheming, you're plotting, and you're kind of using that to command your guys. The mixing magic and strategy together is kind of a cool angle. With Soulblight Gravelords, they finally fixed that typo where some of the leaders weren't unique, right? You may have noticed that the last couple games I had against Soulblight, their heroes had enhancements, and I was like, what the hell? That doesn't make any sense. All Soulblight heroes are supposed to be unique, so like, how is this happening? We sent that in and it seems like they fixed that problem.
Yeah.
And the last one here, I think this is something that you personally suggested. So you want to run through it and why you went to the trouble to contact GW for this?
Yeah, I guess they looked at the Cockatrice and they were like, well, people really like the Cockatrice effect. It's 405 points. It's perfectly balanced. It really reduces the impact of these Alpha Strike melee armies that were just dominating the game. And they were like, yeah, no, everyone should have it because Chaos sure as hell was allying it in everywhere. You know, there wasn't a single Chaos list I wasn't seeing for a while that didn't have a Cockatrice in it. So it's only fair that everyone else can do it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to fighting like Kragnos and Stonehorns with a Cockatrice in the list. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And it's such a great model too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's great to see it everywhere.
It's a classic throwback model. I love it.
So these are just the major highlights from the battle scroll. There's going to be a link in the description below where you can go check out all the changes. Thank you everybody for watching, especially to our Patreon supporters. If you think we missed anything or we're lacking in our analysis, just leave a comment down below. Jump into our Discord server. We talk about Age of Sigmar all the time. Post your battle reports, your models. We have community contests for painting contests and things like that. You can consider supporting us by becoming a member on YouTube or joining us at patreon.com/thestormkeep. And I just want to give you guys a quick rundown. We have a lot of stuff coming down the pipeline. I may have mentioned earlier in this video, we've got a How to Counter Tzeentch coming. We've got two quick reviews for Slaanesh and Caradhron, and then full reviews coming for Blades of Khorne, Bone Reapers, and Seraphon. And then we start our list spotlight series with Stormcast Beginner Competitive List. So feel free to jump into the Discord, and we will see you in the next one.
Mm-hmm. See you guys.